Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you're able to join me today as we continue on in a message I began yesterday, which I've entitled, One Thing is Needful. And if that phrase rings a bell, it is because it's a very familiar passage found in Luke, the 10th chapter, and it references when Jesus and his disciples came to a certain village. It is said that Martha invited them into her home, and she was preparing a meal, and finally she got frustrated and impatient because her sister Mary was just sitting there at Jesus' feet when she should, at least in her opinion, her thought, she should have been out helping her because there was a whole group of people and Mary needed to make herself useful. At any rate, it's interesting to hear Jesus' response. In verse 41, Jesus answered, after she said, Lord, she finally went to Jesus. She said, would you please tell Mary to get up and help me? He said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. All right, what was going on? Well, as I shared yesterday, the Lord was not rebuking Martha for her good work of hospitality and desire to accommodate and feed them a meal. And of course, in those days, it wasn't a matter of sticking something in the microwave. There was a lot of work involved. Sometimes it was the butchering of an animal, making bread from scratch. There was a lot of work, but he was calling attention to what was going on in her heart. She was anxious and fretful and stressful. And this is what he called attention to. You're troubled about many things, about wanting everything to go well. Only the Lord knows what was all that was going on in her heart and mind. But the important thing is the Lord was drawing attention to the fact of what Mary was doing. And what was she doing? That's what we're going to concentrate on today. It seems like I've been in a teaching mode the last few weeks, so I pray that you are edified and inspired in terms of what the Word of God desires us to come into. She was in fellowship with Jesus. That was that good part. And also, she was learning God's ways more than anything else. That's obviously what she was desiring to do. Of course, the normal response, a woman should have been in the kitchen. Martha was there. However, her desire was so great. She wanted to learn what Jesus had to say. He didn't live there, and obviously their visit was the visit of Jesus and the disciples was an important occasion. And so what we want to do is to understand the importance of what Mary was doing. Two things, as I shared yesterday, was going on. One, she was in fellowship with Jesus. That's what God wants us to do, to enter into a time every day where we can spend time with Him in prayer, in meditating on God's Word, reading God's Word, and listening to His direction, what He is prompting us to do, to hear Him speak to us through that inner voice, through the thoughts He puts in our mind. He wants that relationship, and also He wants us to learn things. And that learning of God's ways is the ability to be taught. That is what hinges upon our growth process, how we can come into maturity as a child of God. As Ephesians says, under the measure of a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of Christ Jesus. Because, beloved, that's the Holy Spirit's express aim and purpose and job description at this point in time. He is working on God's people to give us both to will and to do of God's good pleasure. And so let's find out what is involved in this learning process. How can we expect to grow in the things of God? Well, again, God's Word has a wonderful answer, some powerful, beautiful scriptures that we find in the book of Psalms. David authored this particular psalm, Psalm 19. And I just want to read these few verses to you. Verse 7, and this is how we grow. Listen to what God is saying to us through this. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Do you suppose our souls need to be converted? I'm not just talking about salvation. I'm talking about spiritual understanding here. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey on the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there was great reward. What is David saying there? That if we will basically learn to love the law of the Lord, his ways, the things that he commands us to do, it says in the gospel, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. This is how we know we love God, if we're willing to do what he says, what he teaches us in his word. And to make things as simple as possible, it means a laying down of our own opinions, our own habits, our own practices, the things we think might be right, in deference to what God desires. Because what does it say? What did I just read? His law converts the soul. His judgments are true and righteous altogether. And if we will do this, there's great joy because his statutes rejoice the heart. His commandments, that his principles are pure and they enlighten our eyes. They give us understanding. So this is what God is designing for us, and that's why he was commending Mary. Praise God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And so if, in fact, it's important we be teachable, again, if you have been with me in a length of time, you know I love definitions. So here's a Webster's definition of teachable. It means capable of being taught, okay? Favorable to teaching, apt and willing to learn. Again, that's an attitude of the heart. It is a desire. It is something that our will is being applied to. We want something. We want to understand something. We want to learn something. And to teach, the verb, simply means to cause, to acquire knowledge or skill. And that, of course, is this is what Jesus did for 3 years. That's what he was doing for his disciples and for the multitudes, those who had ears to hear. To instruct by precept, by example or experience. That's really important. That's important in our lives. We can teach. We need to preach the gospel and, if necessary, use words. I don't know where that came from, but it's pretty strong and powerful and illustrative of how we should live our lives, the fruit of the Spirit, to be a testimony to draw others to Christ. And so also to teach means to seek to make known or accepted. So what is the heart of learning? And this is what Mary was doing. This is what we need to do as disciples of the Lord. We have to understand that he wants to show us some things, because when we're birthed into the kingdom, I don't care how old we might be, there are some things we need to acquire. And sometimes the wiser, the more instructed we are in the ways of the world or educated according to man's standards, sometimes the denser we are. Listen, I have known people, I'm talking way back years I was unsaved. They were brilliant. They had amazing IQ. They were intelligence in the military. But say we could be some of the densest people in terms of the wisdom. And so it has nothing to do with our intellectual capacity. What does it mean to be tractable, to be teachable? Well, that ability to be taught is actually a childlike characteristic. Mark 10:15 declares these words, and these are the words of Jesus. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. I don't know, that's a pretty absolute and powerful statement, is it not? But we have to be like little children, or we're not going to make it into heaven. Remind you now, I did not say that. Those are the words of Jesus in Mark 10:15. And of course, what is a child? Well, they're not burdened by adult responsibilities. They're able to be free to apply oneself to instruction. And this is how we need to be before the Lord. We do have, as adults, responsibilities, but they don't take precedence, they don't take priority over our primary goal, our primary priority, which is to learn of God, to fellowship with the Lord, to spend time with Him, to give Him that fellowship that He desires. Remember, this whole message relates to what's important to God and should be important to us. And so, what is the heart of learning? It's acquiring new information. Secondarily, it's a readjustment or replacement of present understanding with additional insight. And that's so important. I'll repeat that again tomorrow as we pick up at this same point. But we're going to learn. What does it mean to learn? Now, many of us are advanced students. It's been a long time since we've been in school. But, beloved, spiritually, we're in the school of the Holy Spirit. And He wants us to be childlike. He wants us to be eager to learn. Just as Mary sat at Jesus' feet and didn't want to miss a word that He said. Can we all do that? Lord, help us to have that childlike quality where we can be so hungry for the things of God and desire your sweet fellowship that that's the most important thing in our lives. Amen. Well, my time is gone. And if you need help in this area, well, as always, I invite you to write and say, Sister Judith, please pray for me. I want to love Jesus more. That's what I did as a little child in the Lord. I said, Lord, I want to grow awfully fast. Please teach me. And, you know, He did honor that. So I invite you to challenge the Lord so that you can grow thereby. Amen. In the things of God. Well, having said that, I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. If you email, please share your mailing address so I could respond personally back to you, although I will pray and confirm. God bless you. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.